This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show or podcast, number 130 in the series for Franklin Matters. This captures the recording of the Horace Mann statue unveiling ceremony held on May 7, 2017. The ceremony was hosted by the statue committee. The program for the ceremony is listed in the show notes. Each of the members of the committee introduced the significant speakers, so you should be able to hear who is speaking via the introductions of each of the speakers. Having previewed the recording, other than some background noise of the traffic and an occasional gust of wind, the recording should be fairly audible without turning it up too loud in your ear. You should be able to hear it very well. So without further ado, here's the recording of the statue unveiling ceremony held on May 7.
Hello once again. My name is Debbie Pellegri. I'm a town councilor, but for today I am co-chairman for this celebration and our statue. I'd like to thank everyone for coming today. We're going to welcome Franklin's son home to Franklin. We all know that Horace Mann was born here in Franklin many years ago, and we have this monument that's down by Star Market, and that's where his home was. And it's not where he's buried. Many people, when I go especially to the schools to talk to the kids, they will say, I know where Horace Mann is buried, and I'll say, where? And they said, down near Star Market, near Bob's store. And I say, no, that's not where he's buried. Come to our dedication and you're gonna be able to hear exactly what's going on. I'd like to give you a little bit of background on how today became a reality. Close to the end of 2015, I met with Town Council Chairman Robert Valley and asked him what he thought about having a statue of Horace Mann commissioned for Franklin. He thought it was a great idea, and knowing myself, Charles O'Terry had chaired the Ben Franklin Statue Committee, he appointed us as chairman and then appointed a committee. Representative Jeff Roy worked with us to secure a grant from the state that the town council passed from the Austin B. Fletcher Memorial Fund to completely cover the cost of this statue. We went out to bid immediately, received 4 bids, interviewed each of them. Our selection was unanimous. Robert Shaw from Skylight Studios was selected. Knowing that we had worked with him on the Ben Franklin statue gave us peace of mind. He was a joy to work with, and we knew he would be and do a great job on the statue of Horace Mann and offer some wonderful suggestions on what would look best, for this location. The town was in the process of selling the old municipal building. Remember this over here, 150 Evans Street? You all came for your vital records and permits and all of that. This was where it stood. This is just so much more beautiful. Just beautiful. We were selling the municipal building to Roger Callery, a local developer who lives in Franklin. Through Jeff Nutty, a town administrator, an agreement was made between Mr. Calories and the town for our statue to be erected right here on these grounds. You will note Horace is positioned facing down 140 here. We felt that this was an appropriate location and he would be looking and welcoming people to the town of Franklin as they enter the downtown area. We can't thank Roger Calories enough for his attention to the site and all the extras that he added to make this area a landmark here in Franklin. What a perfect place for Horace Mann to call home once again. The rest is history. Meetings were held, decisions were made, and now, here we are today with a finished statue of Horace Mann. that we're proud to deliver to the town of Franklin for each resident to cherish now and in the years to come. I'd like to ask my co-chairman, Charlie O'Terry, to come forward and begin some introductions with some special guests.
Since its inception, the Horace Mann Statue Committee had a clear and well-defined mission: secure funding, locate a site, and commission a permanent memorial to Franklin's favorite son, Horace Mann. Six local citizens, all with different backgrounds and ideas, came together and accomplished just that. Our efforts produced the beautiful lasting testimonial you will see later today. I am now happy to introduce my fellow committee members. My co-chair, Debbie Pellegri. Robert DeLocco. Tom Mercer. Lisa Piana. And last, but by no means least, State Representative Jeffrey Roy. As Debbie stated earlier, and on the first page of your program, the Franklin Town Council has been instrumental in making this day a reality. Throughout our journey together, the Statue Committee and the Town Council enjoyed a cordial relationship, and the Council was always very supportive. I am happy to introduce to you now the current members of the Franklin Town Council. Judith Pepper, Clerk. Councilor Andrew Bisanti. Robert DeLocco. Glenn Jones, Thomas Mercer, Peter Padula, Debbie Pellegri, our Vice Chair, Robert Belli, and the Chair of the Franklin Town Council, Matt Kelly, who has a few words of his own.
Thank you, Charlie. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the new Horace Mann Square in downtown Franklin. On behalf of the Franklin Town Council, I would like to take a moment to thank everyone very much for attending this momentous occasion. I'd like to start off by thanking a few folks for their really hard work on this project. Thank you to the Statue Committee, including Debbie Pellegri, Lisa Piana, Charlie O'Terry, Jeff Roy, Robert DeLocco, and Thomas Mercer. Thank you. Thank you to Roger Calarese for his dedication to the build, to building this beautiful park and building this beautiful building behind us. Also to sculptor Robert Shaw. And of course, Representative Jeff Roy, Senators Karen Spilker, Richard Ross, the Massachusetts Legislature, and the Austin B. Fletcher Memorial Fund for obtaining the funding to this statue. It was only a few short months ago, I stood on the other side of Rockland Trust, the Rockland Trust building, with many of you, and dedicated our new downtown. As the chair of the town council and a business owner here in downtown, I think everyone is excited for the new downtown and this beautiful statue park. Horace Mann Square represents the final improvements in our downtown, and it's a perfect tribute to the Franklin's history here at its gateway. Here at the park, people will be able to sit outside and enjoy the new streetscape and amenities, as well as learn about one of our most famous residents, Horace Mann. While Horace has long since left us here in Franklin, his hard work and dedication to education still lives here, strong here in Franklin, Massachusetts, and throughout our great country. In the words of Horace Mann, "Doing nothing for others is the undoing of ourselves." With the dedication of the statue today, we pass Horace Mann Square to the people of Franklin to relax and enjoy all that Franklin and its downtown has to offer. Thank you, and God bless.
At this time, I'd like to introduce two students from the Franklin school system. They're going to give you a little history about Horace Mann. The girls can come up. We have Jordan O'Terry and Megan Lovett.
In 1796, Horace Mann was born in Franklin, Massachusetts on May 4th, 1796. In 1809, Father Thomas Mann dies of tuberculosis. 1810, Brother Stephen Mann drowns, age 17. In 1816, he enters Brown University as a sophomore. In 1819, he graduated from Brown University as a valedictorian. In 1821, he enters law school in Litchfield, Connecticut. In 1823, he opened a law school in Dedham, Massachusetts. In 1827, he was elected to Massachusetts House of Representatives. In 1830, he married Charlotte Messer. In 1832, his wife, Charlotte Messer Mann, dies of tuberculosis. In 1836, he was elected president of the Massachusetts Senate. On 1837, he was appointed secretary of Massachusetts Board of Education. In 1839, he established the first normal school. In 1843, he married Mary Peabody. And in 1843, he visited schools of Europe. In 1848, he was elected to Congress. In 1852, he ran unsuccessfully for governor of Massachusetts. In 1852, he was elected president of Antonish College. In 1859, he died at Antonish College, Yellow Springs, Ohio, on August 2nd, 1859. He is buried in Providence, Rhode Island at the North Burial Grounds.
In establishing his main ideas and ideals, six main principles. The public should no longer remain ignorant. Education should be paid for, controlled, and sustained by an interested public. This education will be best provided in schools that embrace children from a variety of backgrounds. This education must be non-sectarian. This education must be taught by the spirit, methods, and discipline of a free society, and that education should be provided by well-trained professional teachers. Hope you paid attention, because we're going to give out a written test very shortly. But mainly, is Horace Mann married in Franklin?
No.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to do the introduction for Bob Shore, our sculptor, and if he would come up, please. One of the greatest men, very talented, very humble. There's probably no torture ever devised by the mind of a man more excruciating than what a sculptor is subjected to when he unveils his statue to the public. The torment of prejudgment by amateurs has driven many an artist bonkers. It's bad enough to go through the anxiety of revealing a completed work that took numerous hours to create, but to have an audience appear uncertain, with questions, anxious, that has to be complete torture. But you're handling it very well. To share their finished product with the world is an act of courage, and in every case of an act of generosity. But no matter what the material rewards are for his work, it is essentially a giving of oneself, a personal confession by the artist, a deliberate invitation to the judgment of strangers. I can assure you, our sculptor, Bob Shore, that today, at this moment, there may be many strange faces among us, but within moments after the unveiling, they will no longer be strangers. They will become lasting friends for a lifetime. Each time one of you walks by, drives by, or even hears mention of the name Horace Mann, you will remember this day, and above all, the name of Bob Shore. All of us here today are not merely spectators. We have a sense of art. Or isn't that the reason why we decided to commission Bob to share his expertise in developing a masterpiece for all of us to admire? In the life of an artist, what is to come is essentially the most exciting and the most nervous. The time has come for us to unveil this magnificent piece of work and to exchange the joy of the past year's anticipation for this moment. Think of this day not only as an unveiling of a statue of Horace Mann, but as the beginning of its life here in Franklin. It is in that spirit, with that feeling of welcoming a new addition to our family, that we now unveil this magnificent piece of work and present Horace to the Franklin community.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm going to be real brief. I just wanted to say that it's been quite an honor and a privilege for me to sculpt the statue of Horace Mann, one of the most influential, important figures in American history. It's been great working with Debbie, the whole committee. Thanks to Roger and Julie, the landscape architect. So here we go.
He said to me, I'm a man of few words, but I think he did very well. And at this time, we have some special guests here. We have some of Horace Mann's relatives with us. So at this time, I would like to call upon his great-great-granddaughter, his great-great-great-granddaughter, and his great-great-great-great-granddaughter. So if they would come up and help us to unveil, that would be really good. And it's a very exciting day for them, too. Call upon the Franklin School for Performing Arts, and you know we always do things big here in Franklin. We have put together a song for Horace Mann, and the students from the school will be now singing the song.
Thank you, Debbie. I am not a town historian, but I am a lifelong Franklin resident. There's one thing I know in my heart, that's that Horace Mann had a really good sense of humor. A number of years ago, FSPA was presenting dinner theater shows at what used to be Pippinelli's. And today, 18 of my students will present a song. It was a spoof of Franklin, that show that we did, and it was called Horace. Now there was a man.
Horace, you are so great. Little man, did you know how to educate? You knew Horace.
great performance. I think they just did wonderful. Let's give them another round. We have so many things to be thankful for, and the FSPA is certainly one of them. We thank you very, very much. We are going to begin with our special guests, and they have a few words that they would like to add to this dedication. So the first one that I am going to introduce is going to be a dear friend of mine. He's been a teacher here in Franklin of history for many years. He's been known as Franklin's historian. If you want to know anything about not only Franklin, but the history, this is the person you would go to. I know for a fact that in his class, that there were many students that when the bell rang, they never even rushed to leave the room. They wanted to hear the last remarks from this individual. So for right now, I would like to introduce my dear friend, Jim Jones.
Oh, what a gal. Now, if there was ever anybody who really pictures the image of the spirit of Franklin, and certainly Debbie Pellegrin. And I think that she, without a doubt, is the citizen of the century. And Horace, oh what a man. He was a man well ahead of his time. He was a man that was not bound by location. He was not bound by the constraints of being born into the 18th century, 221 years ago. He was a man for the ages. He was a man who thought outside of the box into which he was delivered by the accident of his birth here. He was a man who appeared before the Supreme Court as an attorney defending the rights of African Americans, some held in bondage. He was a man who ran for public office. He was a man who represented the citizens of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, not only in the Great and General Court, but also in the Congress of the United States, taking the place of a great man, John Quincy Adams, who was also a great defender of American freedom, particularly of African Americans in the Supreme Court. Horace Mann also advocated the rights of women. In Antioch, Ohio, when he took over the new college there, he opened the doors of that college to black people, to women, and to American Indians, Native Americans. He believed in total and complete equality, which, after all, is what this nation is all about. As we consider this nation as we are today, a nation of immigrants, all of us whose antecedents came from across the great waters that surround this nation on both of its borders, east and west, we know that our greatness springs from the fact that we are made up of the vital substance of the rest of the world who came here to realize the dreams of freedom, self-expression, and the achievement of the greatness which is intrinsic to all of us as members of the human race. And Horace Mann realized that.
Thank you, Jim. Lisa Piana, one of our committee people, will be next for the introduction.
Thank you, Debbie. This is truly a special day for the town of Franklin. I mean, you can just feel it, and the more you get to hear more about Horace Mann, I think the more you really feel what a special day it is. As a member of the Sculpture Committee and the Executive Director of the Franklin Downtown Partnership, I am extremely proud of our community for working together to make this day a reality. As I look around at so many of the projects downtown that have transformed Franklin over the last couple years, from the welcome signs in the middle of town to the sculpture in front of the historical museum, and now this beautiful bronze sculpture of Horace Mann, I realize that there is one person who always seems to be there when we need her, supporting our community and helping Franklin get the funding for so many of these special and important revitalization projects. I'm glad today to introduce Senator Karen Spilka. I want to recognize Karen for all of her continued support. Unfortunately, you might see that Karen isn't here with us today because she had a bike accident that she's recovering from. And it's sad that she's not here, but we did want to recognize her for all of her efforts and hard work, not only in getting the funding for this project, but for so many projects over the years. Franklin is very fortunate to have a senator like her. Karen, we wish you a speedy recovery. Thank you.
And next introducer will be committee member Charles O'Terry.
Our next speaker is a man I have known personally and professionally for more than 40 years. A lifetime resident of our neighboring town of Wrentham, he knows the residents and the issues of this district very well. He began his political career in Wrentham and went on to election as a Massachusetts State Representative and is now a Massachusetts State Senator. I am proud to introduce to you my friend, our State Senator, Richard Ross.
Looking at Horace's aft side, and I knew there must be a better view than the one I have, so I had to take a look before I made comments. I'd like to welcome Horace's great-grandchildren here. It's a privilege to see you. I think we've met a couple of times. I likewise share ancestry with Horace Mann. We all descend from Reverend Samuel Mann of the First Parish of Franklin, which is the core of downtown. Franklin's son, obviously Franklin, not only Franklin, Norfolk and Plainville, half of Bellingham, half of Foxborough, were all around the time. So it's kind of amazing to see how the seeds of Franklin's family have rippled out and created this people that get to share in history today. I've always read different things on Horace Mann. I actually collected a memoir that somebody had written of his life from the late 19th century. And what stuck in my mind is that author chose to say at one point, Horace Mann led an unremarkable life. We all know him, don't we? And I am so pleased today that we've added polish to his name. We've actually chosen to make remarks on and to acknowledge the accomplishments he had not only with the normal schools and teaching, but also within the Massachusetts State Legislature. And as a common descendant of Reverend Samuel Mann, it is my honor every day to see his picture not only in the Senate reading room. He's now in the hallway, by the way. We're doing the Senate chamber and the reading room over. So he's been moved to one of the hallways on the fourth floor, and I didn't realize, I knew it happened sometime, but I didn't know where they were going to put him. And the other day when I got off the elevator, I was walking down the hall, and oh my God, there's Horace. And it kind of took me by surprise. So I knew that the construction or reconstruction of the Senate chamber had begun. I want to thank my colleague, Jeff Roy, for all of his hard work on this committee, as well as all the committee members and the city town council for all they've done in helping us today to also remind people of how important public education is. And I think for Franklin to be at the forefront of it, for you to have a college here with Dr. many others who sit on that board who are educating folks around the nation at this certainly great level of school here right in the heart of Franklin. It brings great joy to recognize all these people. Jim Johnston helped me years ago. I've always had an interest in history, and I remember getting a copy of his book on Franklin and realizing how he had memorialized so many great things that happened here already. Jim, you've done great work in town, and I want to thank you for that too as a friend and as someone who has a few of the things you've sold me over the years. I just wish I'd bought everything you'd offered me, because I'm learning that you knew more about some of those things than your offers. Oh, well, I'll be back. Yeah, Franklin was known as the West Precinct of Wrentham, and a lot of people forget that. But certainly, Franklin has become a town of its own. And you have forebears here that you're very proud of, who have done great things. And in many ways, you've exceeded the town of Wrentham itself in producing world-class people to be remembered. There's no doubt about that. Through spearheading the common school movement, he advocated for every child to receive a basic education. It's a right that we are guaranteed in our state constitution to this very day. Horace did much to ensure the progress of education. Indeed, we could make efforts towards that progress so that students have even better educational opportunities. As one of the top states for education, the Commonwealth must continue to lead and carry on this great work. It is my hope this statue will continue to remind us and inspire us of his work and challenge us to continue it. I want to thank Franklin for giving me the opportunity to stand here today to offer a few remarks and just again remind us all to support the work of education here in the Commonwealth and realize that through education, all of our children have the ability to succeed. Thank you very much, and enjoy your day today. This is a fine celebration. I'm going to need to find out where to get one of these. Probably need to buy one of those, as I encourage all of you to do this course. Get a mug for $3 or $10. And be sure to buy one and support this endeavor. Thank you.
Thank you for that plug. For our mugs, yes. Next, I would like to call upon Tom Morrison for our next introduction.
Thank you, Debbie. I'd like to preface my introduction with, I actually wrote two introductions for this guest speaker. And I really wasn't sure which one I was going to use until a very wise man said to me earlier today, always be nice to the speaker following. So, before his run for state office, our next guest held a number of municipal positions in the town of Franklin, including town council, school committee, and served as a member of the Horace Mann School Building Committee, to just name a few. The love and dedication to education this man has is similar to the man we are honoring here today, and at a minimum is admirable. It's my honor to introduce my friend and our state representative, Jeffrey Roy.
Well, thank you, Tom. Whoever told you that was a very wise man. I just want to say it's a tremendous honor to be with you here today to commemorate and memorialize Horace Mann in the place where he was born and spent nearly one-third of his life. Mann was born during the founding of America, less than 20 years after the drafting of the Declaration of Independence, and while George Washington was still president. During those early years, Americans echoed George Washington and Thomas Jefferson on the duty of the state to supply education to all children. But it was Horace Mann who moved the idea from conversation and put it into actual practice. Mann had the vision, the courage, and the practical legislative experience to translate these principles into actual schoolrooms and functioning programs. One of the most important objects of government is to give every child in the Commonwealth a free, straight, solid pathway by which he could walk directly up from the ignorance of an infant to a knowledge of the primary duties of a man. That's a direct quote from Horace Mann. He knew that democratic freedom could be enjoyed only by an educated citizen. And I have to say, I think he'd be very proud to see that today, Massachusetts is number one in the nation and tops in the world for education, all built on the foundation that he established. Now, Horace Mann was born in a farmhouse about a mile south of here, and he was chiefly self-taught. To make up for the limited formal educational opportunities and with a thirst for knowledge, he used every spare hour for study by making use of the books made available to the town by Benjamin Franklin. A 116-volume collection was donated as a gift to the town by the great statesman Franklin on the occasion of the town being named in his honor. Franklin was originally asked to donate a bell for the town's church steeple, but noting that sense was preferable to sound, he responded with an offer of books, now famous as the collection that formed the first public library in America. The intersection of that library and man's life cannot be understated. And the story of the changes to education that occurred in the years following is quintessential to the story of America. Mann stayed in Franklin until he left for Brown University at the age of 20, and we celebrate those formative years and youthful exuberance with the statue of a young Horace Mann. There are many tributes to Horace Mann throughout the United States, including three at the State House in Boston. Indeed, he is one of only two statues on the front lawn of the State House, and his image meets the eye of every legislator as he enters our halls of council. And his name also appears on the frieze around the ceiling in the House chamber where I serve as one of 53 great contributors to Massachusetts. And as Senator Ross pointed out, his portrait hangs in the Senate reading room commemorating his years as the Senate President. It's fitting that he receives this significant honor today in the presence of his community and even his descendants. This statue stands as a monument to a fight that has been handed down to us, that we must strive unceasingly for better schools. We carry on with the understanding that well-educated, clear-thinking, creative citizens are essential to democracy and our democratic way of life. Now, I urge you to read more about Mann and his history and all those memorials. Grab one of those booklets, take it home with you. Debbie's going to administer the test. It won't be on MCAS. I want to thank my colleagues in the Massachusetts House and Senate for their foresight in providing funding for this memorial. And I thank the Town Council for providing the matching funds. And I want to thank Bob Shore for an incredible and beautiful rendering of our forefathers. And finally, I thank members of the Statute Committee for your great work and your partnership. I truly was honored to be a part of that team. And thank you to each and every one of you who came out today to be a part of this special day for Horace Mann, for our community, and the cause for education for all. Please enjoy the rest of your day. At this time, I'm very pleased to introduce Dr. Javier Savalas. Dr. Javier Savalas, the president of Framingham State University. Framingham State is one of the first teacher colleges established by Horace Mann. Dr. Savalas was born in Ecuador, and his family moved to Puerto Rico when he was 14. Dr. Savalas earned his bachelor's degree in 1976 at the University of Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico He moved to Illinois, where he earned his master's and doctoral degrees in 1978 and 1981 from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And his area of research is Latin American literature, with particular emphasis in the colonial era. He began his career in education in 1981 as assistant professor of Spanish at the University of Maine at Orono. In 1984, he moved to the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, where he was promoted to associate professor in 1988 and to full professor in 1992. In 1994, he was asked to serve as faculty advisor to the provost. And in 1996, he was selected as a fellow by the American Council on Education and spent his fellowship at Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut. On his return to UMass, Savalas became chair of the Department of Spanish and Portuguese. And soon after, he was appointed vice chancellor for student affairs, a post he held until 2002, when he became president of Cutstown University in Pennsylvania for many years, until beginning his tenure as president of Framingham State University. Please join me in giving a very warm welcome to Dr. Javier Chavez.
Thank you, Representative Roy, for such a warm introduction. I am really honored to be here today to recognize and celebrate Horace Mann. We were the first school that he founded, the first public normal school in the United States. There was a normal school founded in Vermont a year before that lasted only a couple of years by a church. So we are not the very first one in the nation, because that little school, short-lived, was founded before us, but certainly with a different vision. In 1838, Horace Mann started the publication of the Common School Journal. And the preamble to the Common School Journal should be a required reading for everybody in this nation. One of the sections that I like to quote, and I always mention, is a part that says the difference between an illustrated man and an enlightened population. And he talks about, said, we admire a man that can speak 20 languages, but what are we doing about the thousands that cannot read or write in their own? And he said to do something about it. So he borrowed the model of the French normal school, and by the way, normal means norms, not that normal in any other sense. And he adopted that and brought it to the United States. So July 3rd, 1839, the doors opened in Lexington for what would become Framingham State University. Three students walked through the door that day. 3 years later, the first African-American graduated from the Lexington Normal School, Mary Miles Bibbs. So it was an inclusive, open place from the beginning. The first president of Framingham State was recruited by him. Together, they drafted, again, what should be written for all people that are involved in education, the Common School Journal. That actually defined and created what we call today K-12 education. They really had a vision of what education should be for us and how to train the teachers that would be provided that education for the children in the Commonwealth and in the nation. And I am very pleased that one of our very distinguished alumni happens to be the president of Dean College, sitting right across here. So the work of Horace Mann carries through in Massachusetts. So I said, I am really honored that we have been asked to be part of this celebration today. I think that, you know, having a Horace Mann statue here would be, and one more thing that makes Franklin a special town, and certainly a way to recognize a great American. So thank you very much.
Now my great pleasure to introduce Dr. Paula Rooney, who was named the 13th president of Dean College in 1995. She is a true champion of education, and under Dr. Rooney's leadership, Dean College has received national recognition for the Dean Difference, the college's distinct model for student success that increased the graduation rate by over 30%. Like Horace Mann, Dr. Rooney's vision is to help each student reach their full potential, both inside and outside the classroom, and to achieve all of their goals. Previously Vice President for Student Affairs at Babson College, Dr. Rooney formerly held senior academic and administrative appointments at Reed College, Colgate University, and Indiana University. She holds a bachelor's degree from Framingham State College, and a master's and doctorate degrees from Indiana University. During Dr. Rooney's 21 years in office, Dean College's enrollment has more than doubled, and overall retention has increased substantially, while new baccalaureate partnerships and programs have been launched to complement the college's established associate degree program. In addition, campus improvements, such as new building construction, you just look around, it's incredible, and renovation has dramatically transformed that campus. And in addition to her responsibilities at Dean College, Dr. Rooney is active in both professional and community service. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Dr. Paula Rooney.
Thank you, Jeff. I'll give you some inside trader information. I'm an Indiana University grad. Dr. Savalas is an Illinois grad. That's basketball. Many of you know that our family has had the distinct pleasure of being Franklin residents for the past 22 years. Our son was 5 months old when we came here and will be graduating from college in a few weeks. And he often speaks about how grateful he is for having had the privilege of spending his life, his entire life, for all intents and purposes here in Franklin. We have dedicated our time and talent as educators to make sure that Franklin honored what Horace Mann had started. And I am indeed honored to be a part of today's ceremony. Dean Academy started over 152 years ago and was named for Oliver Dean. And as we do often, we look at the history of who we are as an institution and the community in which we serve. But Mr. Dean was born in 1783, and as such, we can probably assume that Horace Mann and Oliver may have had some time together. In fact, history shows that the gentlemen may have attended the local church together. I would suspect the pub or two on Main Street. And Oliver also attended the funeral of Horace Mann's brother. I often wonder about what those conversations might have been like. Two great men, extremely proud men and proud of what they were accomplishing, and talking about their dreams and visions for not only the communities they serve, but the people within those communities. And first and foremost for each of them, education was the primary focus. Dean College is proud of our heritage and our partnership with the town of Franklin. And I can think of no greater honor than for us to have the opportunity to view this wonderful statue every day. And for us to thank the town, the committee, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and Roger Calarese for making it possible. Because as a neighbor, Roger now has the glory of every day being a part as we look at each other face to face, mowing the grass, planting the flowers, and making sure that we too are complementing what the town is doing. As a commemoration of Horace Mann's life and his honored place in the town of Franklin, we announce today that Dean College will award an annual scholarship in the name of Horace Mann commencing in the fall of 2018. It will join our scholarship to the Tri-County, Franklin High School, and the YMCA, and there will be a Horace Mann Scholar starting in the fall of 2018. There is no greater reference for a student to receive a scholarship when the family will be a part of that. And so we're going to invite the members of the Horace Mann family, when we honor the student who will receive this, if you will come and join us for that. It makes a difference to a student when they can actually see that there is a real name and a real family behind a scholarship. The scholarship will be given on a need based to a Franklin resident, be that a part-time student or a full-time student, who possesses a passion for learning and exemplifies the philosophies of Horace Mann. A great man who believed that one can benefit mankind through education, philanthropy, and social reform. It is indeed a pleasure on the part of our Board of Trustees, our faculty, our staff, and most importantly, our alumni and our current students, to say thank you to the town of Franklin for letting us be able to serve you on a daily basis.
Dr. Rooney, on behalf of the town, I want to thank you very much for that great, great honor of a scholarship for a student from Franklin. Yes, thank you so much. And that was a complete surprise. So that's what we like, some surprises on days like this. Next, I'd like to call upon Bob DeMarco, our committee person and also town councilor, to do the next introduction.
First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out and enjoying this day. I'd like to thank the committee for a lot of hard work for the last couple of years, and my fellow town councilors who worked really hard to get everything done. I guess the only thing that I have in common with Harvest Man is that I've been told that my father was always told me that he was born in the same house that Harvest Man was, so that's all I got from him. But the next gentleman I'm introducing is the chairman of our Franklin School Committee. We work very hard all the time to make sure our students get the best education they can. And sometimes money's tight, everything's tight. Devin O'Malley does a great job making sure our students, and along with the other school committee members, they do a great job. So I'd like to introduce Devin O'Malley.
Morning. I'm honored to be here. I work, live, think in the world of education, and no one in that world has been more foundationally important than the man we honor today with the statue, Horace Mann. I'm here, my function is to represent the students and the teachers and the school committee of Franklin for this opening, but in a way, because of the incredible spread of the ideas of our man, I'm actually representing the children in every county, every town in this entire state. This is a man who had an idea, and this is an idea that changed America. And it's amazing to me how one idea can be that powerful. Now, before Horace Mann came along, we had education, we had religious education, private education, education in the home, and all of that served its purpose. But Horace Mann had a better idea, and his idea was education could serve the purpose of the individual, but also the purpose of the community. And it's been so well stated by so many of our distinguished speakers here. I won't go into the 12 precepts of his ideas, but I will capsulize them in this way. Horace Mann believed that if you had a free public school for all the children, from all the backgrounds, from all the religions, sitting in one place, they could learn from each other as well as from their teacher. And the result of that learning could make the towns in which they live better places because they would be better citizens. Horace Mann believed in teaching citizenship. He believed in a curriculum that was much more than reading, writing, and arithmetic. He believed science existed, history was a subject, but so was living in the community, how to be a better citizen. And he preached all his life about the need for schools to be the kind of place where students learn how to love the spirit and the accomplishments of America. One point I want to emphasize beyond just the children, Horace Mann understood the need for great teachers to be in our schools. He started the first teachers' college, and he did that with the idea that he wanted teachers to have the training and yes, the pay that they deserve for taking on what may be the most important job in America, taking care of our young people. So one idea, one man in this one town, in my view, stands up there with the Declaration of Independence,
with the Federalist Papers, with all the writings that we call foundational to this country, because what he did changed America. And he changed it for the better, and its change is apparent right here today. If you go to any state, in any place, the common school model of all children freely coming together in a schoolhouse and learning together and learning to be good citizens, that is found everywhere. So, here to be Horace Mann and his descendants go how proud we are of the accomplishments of this man, but I have often thought, who would Horace Mann be like if he came down from his pedestal and walked down around us today and saw what was going on? I have to think he would be especially proud of our accomplishments in the education community, as mentioned, especially in Massachusetts, but in this town in particular. I think he would be very proud of the way that this town cares for and educates its children. Horace Mann had a great idea.
Dr. O'Malley is the last of our speakers, but we have a special guest here, Jamie Barrett, who's now going to sing the city known as the town of Franklin. But first of all, I want to ask you, how many of you know that Franklin is a city? How many think it's a town? You're wrong, it's a city. It's our form of government that makes us a city here in the town of Franklin. We're known as the town because we wanted to keep that rural atmosphere of a town. But when we have to file for any kind of grants or anything, our bylaws and that, we are the city of Franklin, all right? I know that when I speak to second graders and I say that, I say, go home and check with your parents. And I had a parent call me one day and said, Debbie, you're wrong. You told my kids that we were a city. I said, no, you're wrong. We are a city. Well, she thanked me tremendously. She thanked me so much. At this time, let's hear about the town, city known as the town.
Thank you, Debbie.
In Massachusetts, it's better than best, it's as great as it gets. Its beauty and all of its history's waiting for you. Folks are as friendly can be. Open your eyes, there is plenty to see. Let's take a look at the long list of things you can do. In the city known as a town. First Landing Library, a closer look shows you it's not ordinary. For inside you'll find the first books that were furnished by day. The one-room red brick school's become the town's treasure. The oldest one running by and the oldest measure. Still looks the same now today as it did way back then. In the city known as the town. Gather as townspeople should. Weddings, concerts, and festivals throughout the year. And monuments honor the mighty man Horace and all that this father of education did for us. It's no mystery why so many would choose to live here. In the city known as the town of Franklin. Town of Franklin. In the city. town of Franklin.
I'd like to announce, too, that we have the Franklin High School Orchestra. They are set up inside where we're going to be serving our luncheon to all of you, playing some music for us. So they're inside. But before we go inside, there are some special acknowledgments I would like to make. Today would not have been possible without these names that I'm going to be reading. Calories Development, Roger Calories, right over here. I think you can hold up on your applause until we say all the names. We've got a few of them here. Austin B. Fletcher Memorial Fund, Massachusetts General Court, Franklin Town Council, Rockland Savings that is sponsoring the luncheon today, Franklin Public Schools, Tri-County Regional Vocational Technical High School that they did the coffee and the dessert, the breakfast items, Ryan Jetty, who helped with the invitations, Department of Public Works, Franklin Police Department, Franklin School Department, Franklin School for the Performing Arts for their wonderful presentation today, Fuller Box Company, our boxes here for our mugs, Jamie Barrett, thank you so much, Franklin School Strings Quartet, which is going to be in there, as I said, and Diane Kluth, and Charles O'Terry and Jeff Roy for putting together this wonderful program, and all of you for coming out, because it's easy to plan something, but if no one shows up, it just loses it. It loses it. And for you people to be here today, I think all of us thank you from the bottom of our hearts. The luncheon is going to be served immediately following, so please go on in there for that. And lastly, I want to thank Mike Dunphy. He is the one that dealt with the mortgage company here and has been wonderful and has asked us to be, gave us permission to use his beautiful, beautiful office space here. So I'm hoping I didn't forget anyone. And if I, and Paizoni, thank you so much, my coaching. Over here, the best pizza. They brought it out to us when we were putting the statue up. And as an Italian, and I make my own pizza, let me tell you, it is delicious. So please, you have some in there that you're going to have today that they have given to us for today's celebration. Did I leave anyone else out? No? There we go, folks. Feel free. Please come up. We have 200 mugs. They're $10 each. They're all numbered. And they're a limited edition. We'd love to sell these out. And we're already up into the 120s, I believe, numbers. So please purchase one today, $10. The proceeds are going to the museum across the street for the Friends of the Franklin Museum. And visit the museum. Today they're going to have a few extra things going on for Horace Mann, too. Okay? Stop over there, purchase our mugs, and come and enjoy a lunch. All right, thank you so much for coming. And I have to say one more person, Paul. Paul Vicario doing our photography here. Thank you so much.
This brings the recording of the Horace Mann statue unveiling to a close. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help, you say? If you'd like this, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.